As I took in the huge atrium full of people, my eyes searched for the listing board. I spotted it in the corner, partially hidden by a sea of heads. I got to the front of the crowd and scanned the list of names. For a minute, there was a tiny part of me that thought, for the 100th time that morning, that someone would come out of an official-looking door and tell me that this was all a huge mistake and it wasn't me on trial after all. I'd never set foot in a court before all this, and I certainly would never have imagined I'd be looking at a court listings board for anyone I knew, let alone myself. But there I was, written clearly for all to see. The Queen versus Josephine Hamilton. I remember thinking, oh my God, how is this happening? Over and over in my head. I felt sick to my stomach, even though I hadn't eaten a thing. My solicitor, Izzy Hogg, was sorting out paperwork, and my husband David and my parents were getting us a table in the cafe. It felt like an out-of-body experience. Bright lights, people everywhere, and me clenching my fists, trying to take it all in. I glanced again at my name and made my way to the cafe where I said that I would meet everyone. I found David, Dad and Mum already sitting down, having carried the heavy and unwieldy bag I'd spent most of the previous night packing and unpacking. David was opposite me and pushed the bag awkwardly under the table. I remember thinking that I had packed illogically as we sat in total silence staring at each other, trying to ignore the reality of the situation as everyone bustled around us. A few weeks earlier, I was advised by my probation officer to take a bag of essentials to court for my sentencing verdict. She was blunt as she explained the likely outcome would be a jail sentence. You do know you are 75% likely to go to prison for this. I just remember feeling pure terror and exclaiming, prison? She went on to say, this is a really serious amount of money, Missing Joe, and advised me to put measures in place for the shop's survival, reminding me that I would be unemployable after any custodial sentence. She continued, when you're sentenced, you'll go away for 14 days to a holding prison, probably Holloway, and then they will send you wherever has space to take you, and your family might not find out where that is for about a fortnight. So I packed 14 pairs of pants, essential, and some massive course books on equine science that I decided would occupy my mind as I served my sentence. Most definitely not essential. David has since joked that he thought I was mad when he saw what I was putting in my bag, but at the time it made total sense to me as my mind was firmly in fight or flight mode. Horse books over pyjamas seemed utterly logical. All I had in my head was that my probation officer told me that I was 75% likely to go to prison straight after my sentencing. I knew that no one expected me to be in the car on the way home at the end of the day, including me. Izzy came over with a plastic tray balancing three coffees, two white for them and one plain black for me. All I could stand was something strong and hot. Not even sugar was a possibility for my churning insides. Both David and Izzy tried to make me eat something, but I couldn't even think about it. Izzy was my dear friend and neighbour, and also a highly experienced criminal defence lawyer who specialised in fraud and military law, but who also acted across the full range of criminal case law. Izzy had suggested we get there early and have a last-minute run-through, but I couldn't really concentrate as she talked about what to expect again. I was exhausted, but also full of adrenaline, and I still had a tiny bit of hope that someone could call the whole thing off. I've learned that the human brain has an impressive ability to let us hold out hope until there really isn't any hope left, and yet you still tell yourself there is a chance that what is happening to you isn't real.